Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. So what you wanna do?
Huh?
How many dudes you really know can flow like this, like this, like this? Let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, infinity, not many, infinity. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. Check.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Proudly brought to you in collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. Our very special guests joining us from the deep south of New Zealand, we have Chris Dyack from the Classic Gold Radio Network in Winton and Southland and David Rickwish from the Radio Heritage Foundation in Wellington. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Well, shucks, hi, Vinnie Eastwood.
Hi, Vinnie, good to talk to you.
Okay. Now, gentlemen, we've got, this Christchurch quake is basically, you cannot escape the news in this country by any stretch of the imagination. And you're basically going to try and raise some capital so that you can get a little thingy out there to help out with the more radio broadcasting and things of that nature to help people out down there. Could you tell us what it's all about?
I'll give you the basis of the idea, Vinnie. In America and New Zealand, we have these wonderful networks that bring all this fabulous programming either via satellite or whatever links to our country. Now, with the evolution of radio the way it has been, or the devolution maybe I should call it, a lot of the radio operations have moved out, even out of the bigger centres, and have moved to places, you know, like a central point and distribute programs from far, far away, like it could be Antarctica, for instance, all I know. So what's happened is now that the earthquake's hit, everybody's crashed back into Christchurch again, but the major problem is that what about the little areas which are attached to Christchurch? Christchurch, around about 300,000-400,000 people, lots of suburbs have got problems, and all the big networks have crashed into the big business area and says, here we are, let's broadcast from here. We have decided to take on the small areas, and we've chosen one of the areas, which is New Brighton, which is totally decimated. I mean, crazy stuff. And people without water, without power, without phones, without food, without money, and because they haven't got they can't rely on what we would call national radio, or over in America you would probably call it public broadcasting, PBR. Or PBS, sorry. So we've decided to set up this mini radio station and start a new movement back to what I would call community radio. David picked up on this from the Radio Heritage Foundation, and his thoughts are this.
Right from the beginning, Vinny, it's been a question of getting local radio into this devastated area. It's 2 weeks past earthquake now, and they're just getting the power on in some parts, but it's very fragile, often powered by generators. Water at one stage was coming through the New Zealand Army running a plant down at the beach, taking in seawater desalination. First time ever used in a civil case in this part of the world. So these people are suffering. It's one of the lowest socioeconomic areas of the city. The big networks are able to broadcast their material, their content. As Chris says, they're projecting what's happening out to an audience beyond Christchurch, but these people haven't had TV for 2 weeks, Vinny. They don't even know half of what's been happening. The newspapers couldn't start reprinting for a week. So there's a massive essential information gap, and this is where I know Chris agrees. This is the importance of having local community-based radio in your metropolitan area. Not just in the centre of town, They still can't get access to the studios. The buildings are damaged. They're operating from temporary studios and hotels. By using a mobile station, we're able to get into the community completely self-contained. Generator, transmitter, even the music, and I think there's some country music in there, Chris.
Yes, well, you could... Do I have to admit? Yes, of course.
Yeah, so we're going to even have some country music to just lighten the load a little bit for these people. Now, Chris is moving the caravan up from down in the deep south of the South Island. He's driving at about 500 or 600 kilometres. Towing this all the way up is going to take him quite a few hours because we don't have such great, beautiful freeway systems as there are in the States, which I'm familiar with. I lived in California for a few years. And we just don't have those in New Zealand. So it's going to be a journey into the unknown right now. Nobody's ever in this part of the world put an emergency radio station into an earthquake-devastated area.
And we have a problem, Vinny, because we're doing this entirely voluntarily because everybody's cash-strapped, people are broke, people are destitute. So we're doing this on a purely cost recovery basis. And I'm trotting around my local town, 50,000 people, a place called Invercargill at the bottom of the South Island of New Zealand, calling on friends and neighbours and mates and seeing if we can dredge up enough money to pay for the petrol. And as you know, petrol's a horrendous price now to get this caravan and the truck up and back. And that's all I'm worried about at the moment. Where I'm going to sleep, I haven't a clue, because liquefaction, this weird phenomenon of sandy, silty, watery garbage is coming out of the ground everywhere. There's, you know, roads are buckling, power lines are askew. And, you know, the whole complete infrastructure of some of these areas is bad, but we're going to the worst. We decided to pick on the worst to try and help them out, Vinny.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what you should do. And the media itself, like most of the main networks, television studios and things of that nature, there was an article that came out that was republished by the Herald, I believe, talking about the differentiation between the suburbs in Christchurch. There's now these refugee suburbs, which are the ones that you're going to with no water, no power, have not had so for a couple of weeks now. And then, of course, there's the hot shower suburb, and then there's the media central suburbs who obviously live in the hot shower district.
Well,
the fact of the matter is we don't know what's going on down there a lot of the time. Lack of information.
And that's exactly what the problem is for the whole of the country. They don't know what's happening in some of these itty-bitty areas either. On television this morning, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning now to set up my radio show. Starts at 5:30 in the morning. And I was watching what they call a Māori, which is our indigenous people, Te Kariri News, which is a Māori language broadcast. And they were broadcasting, interestingly enough, in part from the area that we're going to. And there are destitute people and who just burst into tears when you offer them something as simple as here is some water.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. We were talking yesterday to the principal of
the school we're going to.
That we were going into to locate the station. And she was almost in tears when she learned that we're going to move the radio station into her area, and absolutely delighted to host the station. She said, look, the power's just come on, but it might go off again. We can't find you a real toilet that flushes. We're using portable toilets and chemical toilets. Don't even think of a hot shower because there's no hot water. But we can give you a place. We can also give you the flagpole in the center of the school area to run the antenna off. So, you know, it's small images like that that sink into our minds just how important getting the station on the air is.
And one of the other issues is, of course, the elderly people. You know, let's have a look at the people that are disenfranchised. Pensioners, how are they going to get food? Because two supermarkets have been bowled, so they have to go around about 2 kilometres to get anywhere. So how do you feed the pensioners? Laundry points. How do you wash your clothes? I mean, people are not washing for a week, maybe 2 weeks, because there is just no water. Local sewage interruptions and restoration, all these are going to be issues that the radio is going to deal with, because as these things come on stream, we're going to have to try and tap into that and say, okay, guys, the water's back on in St. Albans. You can tear over there and top up your 4-gallon drums of water, whatever. The power's on, or it's about to have another scheduled shutdown, so you better make sure that you've got some batteries in your radio to keep tuned. Water tankers are driving around the place. Toilets. This extraordinary story of portable toilets. Just about the whole of New Zealand's portable toilets.
It's not only that, Chris. I read that 10,000 portaloos are coming in from China, and as about 1,500 have been flown in from California already. So we're grateful already to what Americans have done, and because we have to remember, Christchurch is the home location of Operation Deep Freeze, which is the American efforts down in the Antarctic. We're well familiar with seeing the Globemasters and the C-130s come through Christchurch Airport, especially during these months as we have gone through our summer down here. And the American military presence in Christchurch through the U.S. Navy and the Coast Guard and Civil Defense has just been amazing, and we're just thankful for what America's already given to help Christchurch.
One of the extraordinary things, Vinny, is that our government, bless their little socks, have decided to bend so many rules that it's just not funny. Like, for instance, now you know, being a broadcaster in New Zealand, how difficult it is to get a high power license, what bells and hoops you have to jump through, what dollars you have to throw at what people to get it. Well, they have waived all the rules and issued us with a high power license that says, where do you want it? How soon would you like it? What can we do to help? And it won't cost you a cent. Isn't that great?
Oh, yeah, that sounds very, very nice. And in terms of news that people don't ordinarily get out of the mainstream media, are you guys aware of anything going on down there that the media is not covering?
I don't profess to know much of what's going on. My radio show is a bit like yours, Vinny, where we talk to people, we bant around ideas, we pick up on little themes, and one thing bounces round to another, and up crops a name, and I say, oh, good, can I talk to them? Because I'd love to find it. Now, for instance, I was chatting yesterday with somebody who was a web designer, and the power's gone off at their place, but they took their whole kit, literally, out of the house, down to the street where there was a telecom generator powering the telephone services on the street corner, and they plugged in their laptop and their equipment and are operating on the edge of the street unless it rains. I mean, that's the kind of crazy little story we're coming across.
Yeah, I think the thing that's also happening, Vinny, is that the media tends to helicopter in with the front people, you know, the high-paid presenters, and they get their guts and glory type stories that then fills the newspapers and the TV and the radio for days and days on end. And they've been to some of these eastern hip parts of Christchurch, but they motorcade through, they go through, they pick a few people, interview them to push a particular angle, which is what media always tends to do. And but they're not there the next day. They don't do the follow-up a week later. Has Mrs. So-and-so got her water back on yet? Whereas this station is implanted in the heart of the area. It will be there for local people to come to talk, get reassurance, to just talk about their experiences, to get health information to the local people. You know, where can they get fresh food? Food has been helicoptered in from 50 miles away on a regular basis because it was the only way, when the roads were first damaged, to get food in to feed the volunteer firefighters. It's just amazing. This is, you know, just imagine if you're living anywhere in the States, like Wichita or Idaho Falls or, you know, Omaha, you know, you've got a wonderful city there. Everything's working. You know, it's first world. This is what Christchurch was like until the 22nd of February. And come that day, it all just disappeared in what is now said to be the most devastating earthquake to ever hit an urban area, ever, because of the absolute raw power that came up through the earth with no warning. It was like bang, 15 seconds later, She's all over.
Vinny, if we can take advantage of the fact that you've got all these wonderful ears listening at the moment all over the world, love to give a little plug for David's site, which is Radio Heritage, all one word, radioheritage.net. And right on the front page of that is a little picture of our caravan and our little plight. And I know it's only small, you know, compared to the rest of the world. But if you'd like to have a look at that, you might get some idea as to what we're on about.
And we also welcome donations via PayPal there. We're more than happy to accept US dollars, any other currency that people feel they're able to give in. And I can assure you that a US dollar, one US dollar, buys about $1.30 in New Zealand currency. So that's your $1 can go an extra mile very, very quickly. The money is going to the Radio Heritage Foundation first. We're a registered charity in New Zealand. We issue receipts. We have to give all our details to the Charities Commission here. We're on their website. We give links on our website to the Charities Commission people. So everything is fully kosher. And then we'll be working with Chris to get the costs recovered from the donations and the help that we're able to get to cover Chris's costs of getting that station on the air. It goes on the air in 5 days' time. His caravan is ready to roll. He's got to gas up the truck, get it up there. And as you were saying earlier, the price of gas has gone up. And
And it's only going to get worse.
We can thank the government for that one, too.
47 cents.
I mean, I would suggest that they maybe bend a few rules down there for the radio networks, because in a state of emergency, they can seize control of all terrestrial radio, similar to what's outlined in the Patriot Act, in fact.
Not a lot of point in doing that, because they're already there anyway, but they're all broadcasting their program out of network studios somewhere else. What they'd need to do is second a few studios and helicopter them in there and place them in each of those little suburbs. And believe me, there are a lot of them. So what we're doing is we're hoping to be the... Well, yeah, personally, you want to know? The thin edge of the wedge is that I have bemoaned the loss of community radio for a very long time. And this is a wonderful opportunity to show our government, our people, and anybody who's interested that local radio needs to return, and let's start a groundswell, and this is where I'd love to get subversive myself, you know, and let's stir up a few hornet's nests and see if we can get community radio, just like you've done in America with your 100-watt licenses issued by the FCC for community radio. Our low-power FM radio stations, and I'm talking about low-power, are 1/100th of the power that you have over there in America. You can get a 100-watt license to service your small community, broadcast to about 20 miles, perhaps. We're only allowed 1 watt.
Okay, we'll have to talk about this after the break. Our very, very special guest from the Classic Gold Radio Network is Chris Dyack in Winton and Southland, and David Rickwish from the Radio Heritage Foundation at radioheritage.net. I implore you, ladies and gentlemen, to visit that to help out the people of Christchurch. We'll be right back. VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
What is about? There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. Our ridiculously awesome special guests are Chris Dyack from the Classic Gold Radio Network and David Rickwish from the Radio Heritage Foundation, radioheritage.net. And they're sending a wee caravan studio down to Christchurch. Well, I suppose up from Christchurch. They're about as south can be. And they're heading north to give them a hand there. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Thank you very much. And yes, we are a little closer to the Antarctic than some, of course. Might I mention at this time, Vinny, and your mate, what's your mate's name?
Will.
Will, hi, Will. Sorry, Will, we've kind of left you a bit out of the loop here, haven't we?
No worries. No, I'm just a co-host.
Will, can I just take a moment to give you our IP address if you want to dial into what we're doing from this little radio station? We have a lovely big fat pipe of about 100 ports. If you want to dial up on the internet, you've got Winamp or something like that. It's an AAC Plus stream. If you've got a pen handy, and I'll repeat this later on if I may, dial into the usual old http://60.234.58.158:8050. And if you use something like Winamp to play it back, it'll probably sound pretty cool.
One of the things that we were talking about earlier is the low-powered FMs and they're 1 watt. And one of the terrible things is that this part of Christchurch had four of these stations, and one got totally destroyed. The house and the studios were just totally flattened. One of the stations was still off the air from the September earthquake, because we've got to remember that Christchurch was struck by an earthquake back in September that did an immense amount of damage. And this one has come along afterwards. It was less power, but a heck of a lot more powerful. And so, you know, it's done a lot of damage to the remaining radio stations that are in the east. So right now there is no local radio in the eastern parts of Christchurch. I was just thinking, Vinny, you know, we can actually see whether listeners are able to donate right now live. So if they're able to go to radioheritage.net, or if it's easier, radioheritage.com, it all points to the same place, and they can make a PayPal donation using their Visa, their MasterCard, or their Amex. And I thought we might even try and see who's the first state, who's the first town that comes online and gives us a donation today.
Well, and I'm sorry, we don't sell snake oil, and we don't sell donkeys, whatever it is.
But we can bottle it if needed, don't worry.
Yeah, that's about
well, hey, did you know that that's how the Rockefeller family made their fortune? William Rockefeller, the Primarch of the family, in fact, made his fortune by selling snake oil, literally.
Really?
I could believe it. Well, maybe you could share some of it down our way. If anybody from the Rockefeller family is listening, and you have a Visa card handy, we'd love you to use it at radioheritage.com.
They just create the industry so that everybody else gets monstrously in debt through them.
One of the interesting things, of course, in a, well, we call it a town, but it's a city of about 400,000 people. Even in the little communities, everybody knows somebody who knows somebody. And it's amazing how the word gets around, but it's so cool, for instance, Vinny, that you've decided to include us in your loop and to help us publicize what we're doing. Because, you can probably hear the passion that we have for it, but secondly, the fun that we're going to have meeting people in their own terms, suffering the same problems and dreaming the same nightmares and feeling the same shaking ground that they're on. I tell you what, it's going to be a surreal experience, Vinny.
Hey, well, you know, you guys are going to have an awesome time dancing around when you're playing the music on the show, because it'll be an interesting dance floor, especially if it's shaking almost as much as your body.
I wanted to mention, guys, that you
talked about the need in New Zealand for community radio and these low power FMs, and just to really get down to a grassroots radio network. And I totally agree. I think there needs to be some discourse over some of the troubles we have in this country, of which there are many. on your guys' point of view, I mean, what do you think New Zealand needs to? Where do you think the discourse needs to be, and the progress needs to be?
Chris, I could perhaps just start, and you could follow in on that one. Yep. The low-powered FMs, the 1-watt wonders, as we call them, began broadcasting 20 years ago in New Zealand. They've been around 20 years. They were set up as a safety outlet for people to be able to get on the air. So you've got schools on the air, elementary schools. You've got some church groups. You've got community groups. Interestingly enough, very few causes or political groups have ever picked up and used the low-powered FM radio stations in this country. We've tracked around about 1,600 of these stations and frequencies. They come and they go. It's like herding wild cats and just trying to keep a track of them. And they, though, were set up again, as I say, as a safety valve because, well, as you know, radio in New Zealand is dominated by two major commercial networks, one of which is owned by a private equity firm out of Australia, and the other one is owned by an Australian company, which is itself 50% owned by Clear Channel down there in Texas. So we've got foreign-owned, as we would say, commercial radio here. We have a major religious network, which is centred in New Zealand as well, with four different brands of their stations. And we have a national radio, which is equivalent to NPR, KCRW in Santa Monica, or something similar to that. The next level down is really where Chris lives.
Yes, and in Invercargill, of course, we've got itty bitty 1 watt radio stations, which for all its low power still have quite a remarkable coverage, around about 3 kilometres for my particular radio station, which is why I duplicate it here and there. Now, in the south of the South Island of New Zealand, we have a town called Invercargill, 50,000 people. Our reach is around about 10,000 people from my area here. We're allowed to have a second repeater within a 25-kilometre radius. Now, 25 kilometres away just outside that radius is another town called Winton. There's another one called Riverton. So I've got repeaters in both of those towns, and we're able to set up repeaters. So effectively, we're not too hard done by. But imagine, for instance, if we could have the good sense and the initiative of the likes of the FCC, who've said the big corporates have extracted every dollar out of the area by downsizing their local stations and networking them out of somewhere else. And let's say now that we issue 100-watt licenses like you do over there in America, and we start the whole ball rolling again back to localized community radio, and let's place some constraints on you. You've got to be local. You're not allowed to be owned by a corporate. You're not allowed to sell the license to somebody in Hong Kong or in the Antarctic. You've got to live in the town that you're broadcasting in, and you've got to have local news for at least a couple of hours a day. Those are the rules. That's where it starts.
And, Vinny, that's where radio started. That's exactly how the first radio stations got on the air in the States, in Australia, in Canada, and in New Zealand, in fact. New Zealand had a wonderful history of private radio for the first 15 years or so of broadcasting in this country until it was essentially nationalised by the state in 1935, and until 1966 when pirate radio, Radio Hauraki, returned private radio to the airwaves, and then very reluctantly the state gave way to private radio, whether it was commercial or whatever. So New Zealand has had a strange history of its broadcasting, unlike Australia, which has had a mixture of both private and state broadcasting since day one, and the US, which has had these stations started by entrepreneurs, people with foresight, and people who wanted to, you know, just serve their own communities. Just look at some of the call signs, you know. They always represented something like the world's greatest newspaper, WGN in Chicago, for example, the world's largest store, WLS, again in Chicago. So you've always had in the States the ability to have a freedom of the airwaves, and I guess that's one of the beauties of being here online talking direct on American Freedom Radio. It sums it all up.
I'd love to be able to get some feedback from other people who perhaps have similar thoughts to us in other parts of the world and have seen wonderful initiatives being developed in America and in other areas where your broadcast program comes into. May I take the liberty, and I'll just accept that you'll say yes to this, to give to put across my email address. I'd love to hear from anybody, and my email address is very simple, Diack, D-I-A-C-K, at extra, spelled X-T-R-A, as in the great radio station down in Mexico, or was, extra, xtra.co.nz. Love to hear your stories as well, Benny.
My stories of, well, I was thinking that the Rolling Stones should do a remix song for the people of Christchurch called I Can't Get No Liquefaction.
That's very, very good.
I know.
Have you heard the story about the big boulder that fell into somebody's house and they were able to sell it on an auction site, the equivalent of eBay here, and they raised over $60,000, but just to sell a boulder that the buyer has to come and pick up himself. So there's a lot of jokes, there's a lot of humour, and that's one thing we've got to say, Vinny, and to all the listeners, that the Christchurch people are staunch, as they say down there. They're strong, they'll put up with a lot of problems, and they'll just get on and do the job. And that's what they're doing. And the mobile radio station going into New Brighton is going to give them help. It's going to be a morale booster. It's going to take away some of their worries and just, yeah. And I'm sure Chris will be playing some of the most appropriate music he can find, especially when the aftershocks come on, and he'll be hunting rapidly to find the appropriate music to soothe everybody's nerves.
Vinny, one of the other things too is that we'll be broadcasting 24 hours a day live wherever possible, and it's going to be a labour of love. But boy, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, I've got a couple more jokes for you about Christchurch. Actually, why did the Christchurch refugee return home?
Why?
To see his flatmate.
Oh no! No. That's a good one.
And what's Christchurch's new favourite sport after rugby?
What is
squash.
Yeah, very good.
I can tell, Vinny, that you haven't been in Christchurch in the last 14 days.
Oh, my sister and her family are down there, and I was just talking to my mate Jeff from down Christchurch. He's one of the refugees who escaped to Auckland, and I told him those jokes. He thought it was absolutely hilarious. And this is the thing about New Zealanders, is that we are actually a very funny people, aren't we? You know, we love to crack jokes, particularly bad taste jokes,
Oh, we're terrible.
Maybe
we're terrible
is, maybe
with
this
bad taste
is our
jokes.
Remnants of the days of Billy T. James, you know? It's like, if you think about Billy T. and you think about a knock-knock joke, knock-knock, who's there?
Yes. Can I just say, Vinny, that there are no hidden agendas, and I know that you go sniffing around for some good stories, and I've heard all about you and your mischief, but there are no hidden agendas with this. This is volunteer radio at its level best, and maybe a bit of political stirring a bit later on.
And if you take a look at our website, radioheritage.com, you'll also see there that this is a slight diversion from what we normally do. We protect and preserve the broadcasting heritage of New Zealand, Australia, Hawaii, California, and anything that's washed by the Pacific Ocean. And if people look through the website as well, if they have a time, they'll see a lot of material there about Armed Forces Radio, which was the first radio stations in the Pacific.
And we are going to break, ladies and gentlemen, our ridiculously awesome special guest coming at us live from Southland at radioheritage.net. They need your donation, so please give them a visit. We'll be right back after the break.
We can be more than ever, people, more than ever.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you by GorillaMedia.co.nz, also broadcasting on iFinity FM 87.7 in Invercargill and Rush 89 FM in Hamilton, and thank you very much to our fabulous New Zealand affiliates who try to get this show and the truth and the political debate that's often censored out of our mainstream media on the airwaves. Now, speaking of political content, I was wondering, gentlemen, what's your kind of political views on the stage? I mean, the election year is coming up, and my opinion is that John Key is going to wind up with some description of ridiculous increase in his vote, because in a time of crisis, everybody looks to their leader to save them.
Well, I don't lean very hard one way or the other politically wise myself. In fact, all politicians are liars, or damn liars, quite frankly. And maybe that's unfair, but look, I don't have a political affiliation. Although I do like the way that John Key smiles. Now, how pathetic is that?
I think I've been around long enough to see both sides of the coin, and I can never too sure whether it's heads or tails that I'm looking at any particular time, and so I'm going to steer a middle, a typical Kiwi, direct down the middle line here, because I think there's always good and bad in both, and I think these days, Vinny, we're in slightly different circumstances. You know, what's going on in Christchurch has been unprecedented. We're going to be talking about this as before the earthquake and after the earthquake. We've got to remember we actually have a state of national emergency declared. It's just not for Christchurch, it's for the whole country. So that,
what does that mean,
the government
though? What does it mean that the whole country's in a state of emergency? Does that mean that the government has emergency powers like the evil emperor off Star Wars?
I don't know, because I think if you push a Kiwi too far, he'll just push you straight back. So, you know, I think whatever's done has to be done sensitively and carefully. You know, like I was talking to some of the businesses down in Christchurch just this morning, you know, and they, for example, don't want to be seen to be making any money or getting financial gain out of the earthquake. They want to be very sensitive as to what they're saying, what they're advertising. It's really interesting seeing how the business community in Christchurch and in the rest of New Zealand, you know, the country is pulling together in an unprecedented way,
but
Vinny.
Don't you think it's a joke, that the insurance companies can't pay out for months, and so all New Zealand's being asked, you know, hands across the broke country that's already been taxed to death. You know what I mean? And isn't it a bit of a... I was walking down Queen Street the other day, and someone said, do you want to have a snicker here?
Now, nearly every insurance company in New Zealand is foreign-owned. It's either Australian or it's American. And the underwriters are either in Switzerland or Germany.
Do you understand that our currency is foreign-owned, that the whole issuance of our monetary system is based in foreign debt? I mean,
absolutely.
That's what people argue, what's foreign-owned, or ASB's foreign-owned, or the Australians have taken over everything. Our whole currency, we don't have a nationalised currency, and so the whole money supply is owed in interest to foreign bankers.
Then you've got to come back to this whole thing, I guess, of, you know, we're a country of 4 and a bit million people, and another 1 million of us floating around the world at any given point in time. And it's not an argument I normally buy into, that we're too small to do things ourselves, because we are not too small to do everything, to do some things ourselves. But insurance is a global business. Banking is a global business, as we know, because down here in New Zealand we've had the fallout from the subprime debt across America. And,
which John Key incidentally helped to create as head of derivatives, which caused the financial crisis, for the Federal Reserve Bank for 2 years.
Well, I think the most amazing thing I saw there, Vinny, was that the Reserve Bank governor, when he was talking in his book about what happened in New Zealand, he had to actually go and check on Wikipedia to find out what some of the financial instruments meant that had that were behind what was happening. So, you know, in some ways, we're not as sophisticated as some of the people who've been, you know, literally swindling people out of their homes and their businesses and their jobs. The whole world has to deal with these issues. And
one particular film comes to mind. It's a film called Hostel, where they take backpackers hostage, and then they basically torture them to death, and they've got all these instruments on the table to choose from. That's what I think about when I think about financial instruments. You know, it's just ways to kill your country in a very terrible way.
Well, there's only one thing that I can say is that Key is a reasonably smart businessman, and that's about the only thing that I will say about him. Whether that's good for us or not, well, the jury's out.
Yeah.
I think the jury's already swung the hammer in my mind. I mean,
I think one of the good things, though, Vinny, is that we have the freedom to get New Brighton Radio on the air in Christchurch. We have the freedom, thank goodness, to accept money from your good listeners across the states and use that money wisely and well for the people of Eastern Christchurch, and at the same time help build up local community radio free of big business interference in our country. And if that's a byproduct of all this, that's going to be a very welcome one.
And of course, it was always a good idea, and it was a good idea to declare a national state of emergency, even though it was in Christchurch, because that's allowed us to break a whole lot of rules. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
bureaucratic red tape is gone.
Chris Dyack from the Classic Gold Radio Network in Winton and Southland, and David Request from the Radio Heritage Foundation of New Zealand. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for coming on the show.
Thanks, Benny. It's been a pleasure.
And don't forget, 602345815 :8050. Bye, Benny.
RadioHeritage.com.
All right, bye, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to another fabulous and exciting edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be back tomorrow.